Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
The compassion movement. The compassion movement. This is what it says here in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Heavenly Father, as I stand before you here this morning, as we gather, O Lord God, from all over the city and beyond, right now, God, we lift our eyes to you. Jesus, this message is all about you. Jesus, would you speak? Would you show yourself? Would you show your face, your heart to us this morning? Lord God, take control and let your will be done. This we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. This is a snapshot. This part we've just read here is a snapshot of a movement taking place. There's Jesus walking around first century Palestine, first century Galilee, walking around the cities and the villages. He is teaching in their synagogues, and that's not an unusual thing at the time. It was quite common if there was a traveling preacher or an esteemed rabbi moving around from town to town. Whenever that rabbi or teacher would come to your town, you'd want them to be a guest speaker in your synagogue. I mean, that's quite impressive, isn't it, to have Jesus as your guest speaker. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to put your hands together for Jesus. Right? I mean, wow, like that's pretty impressive. Although, to be honest with you, every Sunday, if it's the Word of God, Jesus is speaking. So open your heart right now, because Jesus is speaking. The Scripture says that as he taught in the synagogues, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. What was the good news of the kingdom? Well, back then, everyone had it very clearly in their minds. All the Jews had it very clearly in their minds that there were prophecies about a time when God would return to the city of Jerusalem and would set up his kingdom, a kingdom where they would not be overrun anymore, they would not be overruled anymore, but God himself would be king. And that before this kingdom was established, that God would send a messenger to proclaim the coming of the kingdom. Jesus was there preaching that the kingdom had come. Although most people were expecting something political, many were expecting something militaristic. Don't forget, at this time, that whole area of Galilee and the towns and villages, Judea, Samaria, it was all under Roman rule. So they were currently under the thumb of the Roman Empire, being ruled by governors and by puppet rulers. So they were ready to hear about a political, militaristic kingdom of God that would come and shove out the occupiers so that they could live under God's rule. But Jesus didn't come speaking about that kind of kingdom. The good news of the kingdom that Jesus was preaching was about a kingdom of love and a kingdom of peace, which many couldn't quite understand, but we'll get to that a bit later. So the Scripture says there he was, traveling, preaching, teaching, and then it says in verse 35 that he was healing every sickness and every disease. every sickness and every disease. If you just go back a little bit and you just read it through, read through Matthew chapter 8, read through Matthew chapter 9 up until this moment, it's astounding how time and time again you see Jesus healing sicknesses and healing diseases. In chapter 8, verse 3, you see Jesus healing a leper. In verse 13, you see Jesus healing a paralyzed man. In verse 15, you see Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. In verse 16, you see Jesus casting out spirits and healing the sick. In verse 32, you see Jesus healing a demon-possessed man. In chapter 9, verse 7, you see Jesus healing another paralyzed man. In verse 25, you see Jesus raising a dead girl to life, but on the way there, in verse 22, you see him healing a woman who had an ongoing flow of blood disease. And then after that, you see Jesus in verse 30 healing two blind men. And then after that, in verse 33, you see Jesus healing a man that was mute and demon possessed. Now, I think I've had quite a busy 2020. I feel like 2020 has probably been one of the busiest years of my Christian life to date. And it's been a minute. It's been a busy year. And maybe you feel the same. Maybe you don't. Maybe you twiddled your thumbs for about 4 months. But Jesus, what he was doing was impressive. Healing here and healing there, and on the way, healing somewhere else. Healing sickness, healing disease. What does this tell me about Jesus? It tells me that Jesus cares about suffering people. Jesus cares about those who are suffering. When there is suffering, Jesus cares about it. When I look in these scriptures and I see Jesus taking so much time to tend to each individual care of each individual man and woman and child, I tell you, church, that's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus I know. After all these years, since 1994, the first time I walked through the doors of Victory Outreach, I have seen time and time again how Jesus has been able to heal the sick. I have seen drug addicts completely transformed by the power of the Jesus who cares. I've seen prostitutes no longer having to do that and are now walking with strength and with dignity because of the power of the Jesus who cares. I've seen broken marriages come back together, healed and restored because of the power of the Jesus who cares. I've seen parents reconcile to their children because of the power of the Jesus who cares. I've seen physical healings. I've seen legs grow before my very eyes. I know people who've been healed of cancer. I was there in India when a man received back his hearing after having not been heard anything for years. I have seen over the years that I have served Jesus that he cares about those who suffer. I know it because of my own experience. I have been a man in pain, and I have been a man in suffering, and I have been a man in confusion. But I thank God that he allowed Jesus, the Son of God, to come into my life. I have a peace that passes understanding, and I have a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, I still have low times sometimes. I still may go through things, but when I go through things, Jesus is right there with me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Jesus has changed and transformed my life. He's given me a beautiful wife. He's given me wonderful children because he cares. He cares. He cares. He cares when you're alone. He cares when you feel like there's no one next to you. He allows even the lonely to sense his presence, to know his love. Jesus cares. Some may say, well, I haven't experienced Jesus like that. Why can't I see Jesus like that? Where is this Jesus you speak of? And it brings me back to this scripture. Because in this scripture, it says that Jesus was surrounded by multitudes. Multitudes. How much is a multitude? It's a lot. It's a lot of people were surrounding Jesus. Some say up to 10,000. And if you were right there where Jesus was in the middle of that throng, you would see him. You would see him getting down on one knee. You would see him looking into the eye of a child and saying, what's wrong? Tell me what's wrong. You would see him place his hand upon their head. You'd hear him pray to his Father. You would see the sicknesses being healed if you were right there. But if you were somewhere else in the multitude, maybe you wouldn't be able to see him. Maybe you'd be there, straining your neck to see him. Maybe you're 5'5", like me. And you have no hope on the outskirts of the multitude. Where is Jesus? You know, the fact that you can't see him doesn't mean he's not there. For those who were further away, those who somehow weren't able to see him, he was still there. They may have even been closer than they thought they were. Jesus may be closer than you think he is. Even when you can't see him, he's working. And even when you can't feel him, he is working, because he is Jesus, the one who cares for the suffering. But, and when I say but, I'm simply saying the first word of verse 36. But Jesus was moving through the towns and moving through the villages. Jesus was teaching in their synagogues. Jesus was preaching the good news of the kingdom. Jesus was healing every sickness and every disease. But in verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitude, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. If you go underneath that and dig down to the Greek word that's being used there, moved with compassion, talks about a moving taking place in the deepest part of your being, in your deepest depth. A move stirring and urging you in your deepest part. Probably the closest we can get to saying it in English is from the bottom of his heart. Jesus sensed a move deep down inside of him, a compassion that stirred. You see, as I read this, I was thinking, but wait a minute. He'd already been speaking. He'd already been teaching. He'd already been healing man after man, woman after woman. He was already moving. But yet, as he stood there, I don't know if maybe he managed to get up on a hill or whether he sat on a donkey or something and lifted up his eyes and was able to see the multitude in front of him. After all that he had already done, he experienced a move. A move of compassion in the deepest parts of his being. Why was he moved? Why was he moved? Because he saw the people were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. There are many causes, many different causes in the world today, many causes that anyone can get behind and pursue, and I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that people are standing up and are fighting and are pressing for different causes to make life better for people. I think that's good. There's climate change. Climate change is a real phenomenon. It's something that is really taking place around our planet. And there are many people who feel deeply concerned about finding some way to at least slow it down if possible, some way to take better care of the planet so we can pass it on in a better condition to the next generation. What about Brexit? Remember that? Yeah, Brexit. That's another cause. What is the future of the United Kingdom going to be? Where will our security come from? Where will our prosperity come from? Where will the opportunities for us and for our children come from outside the European Union? That's another cause that people can get behind. The senseless killing of George Floyd by a brutal white police officer awoke within many people the passion to stand and to protest against the enduring aggressions and microaggressions that leave many people of color wondering if their lives really do matter as much as they should in our society. Like Julia Jackson said, the mother of the recently shot Jacob Blake, citizens, police officers, firemen, clergy, politicians, do Jacob justice and examine your hearts. We need healing. And those words said by this hurting mother in this particular situation actually apply to so many situations around the world. Man, I even had a look just to see what had happened throughout 2020 so far. And I was going to read it, but I got depressed. There has been so much going on this year, from wildfires in Australia, right the way through to the COVID pandemic, right the way through to racial uprisings, right the way through to the tragedies taking place in Lebanon, right the way through to today. We need healing. Our world needs healing. The United Kingdom needs healing. Manchester and Salford need healing. I wonder if Jesus was to walk physically among the cities and villages, not of first century Galilee, but of 21st century Manchester and Salford, would he also be healing now as he was then? Would he be healing the cancers? Would he be healing the COVID-19? I believe he would. And also the other diseases of our society, like poverty and like sex trafficking and racism. But one thing I do know for sure, right here in Matthew chapter 9, we see a cause that moved Jesus to compassion. After all he had already done and said, what was it that stirred Jesus? What was it that moved Jesus? What was the cause that stirred Jesus? It was the scattered weariness of the people he was sent to reach. You see, the people he was sent to reach, they had no spiritual leaders. They had no leaders. Okay, they had Roman governors, and they had puppet rulers, King Herods and stuff, but they weren't caring about the people. They were caring about the glory of Rome, and they were caring about their own selfish gain. Okay, and there were the religious leaders, there were the Pharisees and the scribes, but they weren't caring for the people either. In fact, they were so spiritually bankrupt, they were so defunct, that Jesus compared them to whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. The people were weary and they were scattered because they didn't have shepherds. You know, even after you've been healed, what do you then do with your healing? And even after you've been set free, what do you then do with your freedom? It's one thing to be emancipated, but it's another thing to know how to live according to your purpose once you're free. They had no spiritual leaders. They had no spiritual leaders who cared for them the way Jesus cared for them. They had no spirit-filled leaders who knew how to lead them to green pastures and to still waters like the shepherd in Psalm 23. They had no spirit-led leaders who knew how to give them security and focus even as they walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus was teaching and he was preaching and he was healing every sickness and he was healing every disease, but he knew that his time physically walking on the earth was going to come to an end, and the people he was teaching, the people he was healing would need leaders. We need more leaders. There need to be more leaders, and not just leaders in of church departments with titles and with licenses. That's all good. That's all great. But I'm talking about spiritual, spirit-filled, spirit-led leaders out there in the world. Community leaders, people in the communities leading under the unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Where are the spiritual leaders amongst the healthcare professionals? Where are the spirit-filled leaders amongst the educators and amongst the social workers? Where are the spirit-led leaders amongst the poor white families in deprived areas? Where are the leaders amongst the young black boys and girls who are struggling to find their place in life? Where are the leaders online who are looking for those who are lost in cyberspace, trafficked in cyberspace? Where are the spirit-filled leaders of our day? For there are weary people today and there are scattered people today. Who are the weary and the scattered of our day right here, right now? Who are the hurting people of the inner cities of the world in 21st century Manchester, Salford, England, the UK and beyond? And who are the spiritual leaders? Who are the men and the women who are moved the way Jesus was moved? Where are the men and the women, not just pursuing another cause, but those men and those women who have been with Jesus and sensed his heart? Oh, he was healing. He was at work. He was lifting up the lowly. But there was even more that he saw in his heart than just healing. What about the soul? Where are the ones who care for the souls, the eternal souls of the people in our world today? The eternal souls there in Ortsall or in Withenshaw. The eternal souls there in Swinton or in Worsley. The eternal souls in different parts of the Northwest and beyond. Where are the ones who are moved with what moved Jesus? After all his sermons and after all his online classes, and after all his healing crusades, and after all of his counseling sessions, Jesus saw that there were still so many weary, scattered people. And the Bible says it moved him in the depths of his being. Church, are we still moved? Are you still moved? There are so many causes to get behind today. But are you still moved by what moved Jesus? We need a compassion movement. As I referred to earlier on in the service, Ray Ortland spoke about the fact that at the beginning of a church's life, it can be vibrant and explosive, an exciting place to be, where people are reaching out and they're seeing God move amongst hurting people in every different sector of society. But after a while, what can happen to a church that's a movement is it can become satisfied with what it has already achieved. It still stands, but now it represents the past. It may even still have a spirit that inspires others to do, but it itself isn't doing what it once did. It's more like a monument now, a monument that shows people that it's possible. But even beyond that, if that monument doesn't regain its sense of move, it can become a mausoleum where mediocrity begins to set in. And it no longer represents the past, it just reminds people of the past. It no longer inspires others, but it just informs others that something happened once. And that can happen not only to a church, but that can happen to an individual life. An individual man or woman can come to a place where they are satisfied with what they already achieved. They're satisfied with the things that they have already done. They may still inspire others. They may still be able to speak out of what was done, but yet it's not really happening inside them or through them anymore. Something's begun to fade. And if you're not careful, an individual can not only get to that place, but go beyond that, where they become more like a mausoleum. They become more like a cautionary tale. Someone that was once so on fire is now someone that doesn't seem to have the fire anymore. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do there in chapter 9 when he was moved with compassion? It says in chapter 10, he started to gather people. He gathered to himself people who he could train and send as leaders. And you know, when it comes to gathering, we here will be gathering again together soon. We've had some amazing times. It's been hard, but we've been doing it here online, through YouTube and Facebook, through our prayer meetings on Zoom. We've been still sensing God move. We've been still seeing people get saved. Hallelujah. But sometime soon, we're going to gather again together as a group of people in our building. And I know some of you out there just cannot wait, because there's so much about gathering that we've missed. Some of you out there, you are just like gagging for a hug. Like, you're probably sitting right there on your sofa, like gripping your cushion right now, biting a blanket, like, please, somebody hug me. Me, personally, I'm not really too bothered about the hugging, but you know what I am looking forward to? You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the dancing. And I can't even dance. There's a reason why they used to call me Colton from the Fresh Prince when I was at school. It's not unusual. I'm looking forward to the dancing. Oh man, I'm looking forward to seeing Sister Rosemary out here, out in the front, waving her handkerchief and getting down before the Lord. I'm looking forward to seeing Jemima stomping on demons on this platform as she walks up and down, oh mighty ones. I'm looking forward to the men's home, standing there looking around and thinking, what on earth is going on here? And then deciding, if you can't beat him, you might
might as well join him and do that little jump for Jesus. I'm looking forward to gathering again and seeing the church full of joy as we celebrate God together. But I hope that when we gather, we won't gather as a monument. I hope that when we gather, we don't just gather as a group of people trying to rediscover or reclaim something of the past, being nostalgic about days gone by. I praise God for the journeys that God has brought us on. I praise God for the victories that have been won in my life over the years. I praise God for what has been achieved in so many people and in so many areas through this church and through this ministry. I thank God. May we never forget what God has done. May we never forget how God has moved. May we never forget the healing amongst families. May we never forget the provision. May we never forget the soul saved. May we never forget the people delivered. May we always take time to give thanks and praise to God for what he has done in the past. But the past is over. 2019 is over. 2013 is over. 2009 is over. One day, 2020 will be over too. It's over. It's over. And right here, right now, in the post-lockdown world, there are people who are weary and who are scattered because there aren't enough spiritual leaders out there filled with the Spirit of Jesus, moved by what moved Jesus, who are speaking and who are walking and who are teaching and who are healing by the power of God. There are people right here, right now, even as the year closes out, as we move closer and closer to Christmas, there are people in our world right here, right now, who don't just need something that represents what happened, but they need something which shows them that it can happen right now. They need a move of God. They need a movement of the Holy Spirit. They need men and women like me and you, who will be filled with the power of Jesus, who will gather together around him, who will allow him to change and transform us, who will allow him to speak into our lives, to refocus us, to renew our vision, so that by him we can be sent back out, sent out into the schools, sent out into the universities, sent out into the business place, sent out into the families, sent out into the council estates, sent out into the prison, sent out into the different areas of society, sent out into the city centers. We need men and women right here and right now who will cry out to be filled anew with the power of the Spirit of God, and who will allow the compassion of Jesus to move them into action. We need it now.
You know, I went into lockdown in pretty good shape. I had biceps. I had pectoral muscles. I had hamstrings and calves. But during the lockdown, I'm not beating myself up. I mean, it was a strenuous time. I think many of us can relate to that. Pastor Paul starts speaking about those who might struggle to put their jeans on. I had no realize his spirit of prophecy was quite so acute. I saw myself in the mirror and I was reminded that I'm not in the shape that I used to be. I stood on the scales and I was quite clearly shown that I was no longer in the shape I
used to be. Whatever shape we went into lockdown in, what shape are you in now? What shape are you in spiritually right now? What shape are you in relationally right now? What shape are you in mentally right now? What condition are you in now after all these months? What condition are you in? Oh, I hope you're in great shape. I hope that you are feeling sharp and feeling clear. I pray that you are. I know for us as a church, we're in great shape by the grace of God. Throughout this lockdown, we've been caring, putting together care packages that have been provided for by people of our church who have sacrificially given. We've been supporting people through bereavement and through different kinds of cares and issues. We've continued to evangelize in different ways. We haven't laid off any of our staff by the grace of God, thanks to the faithful giving of the members of our church. We've even been able to upgrade different areas of equipment so that we could be better at meeting you for church at home. People in our team have upskilled in various areas. As a church, praise God, thank you, Jesus. We're in good shape. But as individuals, what shape are you in? Are you still fit for purpose? Are you still fit for a move of God? Because now is the time for a move of God. Now is the time for a compassion movement. And I'll tell you, I'm doing my best physically. I'm back in the gym. I'm taking care of my diet. I'm trying to get 8 hours sleep a night. I'm doing my best. And not only physically, I'm doing things spiritually. I'm doing things relationally. My wife and I just celebrated 18 years of marriage. And you know what our gift to one another was? We're going to do the marriage course. We're doing the marriage course for our 18th anniversary, investing in our relationship. We need to invest in our condition. We need to make sure that we are sharp and that we are ready to meet the needs of a hurting world that is right outside our front door and right there through the internet too. What condition are you in? And when we gather, wherever we gather, whether online virtually or whether here physically, I pray that we will gather not just for nostalgia, but I pray that we will gather for purpose and that we will gather for mission, that we will allow others to join with us, to speak into our lives, to work with us, to believe with us, that together we can become fitter and stronger and readier and more focused and more anointed than ever. Because if you spend any time listening to our pastor and his wife, they are still full of vision. They still see what God has promised this church. They still see in their heart what God wants to do through Victory Outreach Manchester. And we just need a few good men and a few good women who will say, I will back this vision. I will get on board, and I will do my best to prepare myself to get fit for service, to get fit for a move of God. And finally, know this, even if you don't feel fully fit, whilst you're working on yourself, God can still use you. We saw that this week, even through the life of the Hollywood actor Chadwick Boseman, who, while privately fighting cancer, used his gift to inspire a generation of people, to provide a role model, a hero that echoed deep into the psyche of people all around the world. Even if right now you may feel discouraged, even if right now you may feel like you're not at your best, even as you get to work on yourself, God can still use you. And I believe that's Jesus' will for you. Jesus' will for you is to see you healed, to see you whole. And whether he does it now or later, he still wants to use your life because he cares for the suffering. I can sense the presence of God right here, right now. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to men and women, to you, all over the city and beyond. God is stirring you that it is time to rise. It's time to get back into prayer if your prayer has faded away. It's time to get back in the Word again if you found yourself occupied on other things. It's time to trust God again, to believe God again, that after all we've seen take place this year, Jesus is still moving amongst the multitude. And Jesus still wants to use you. Oh God, I pray right now. I pray right now, oh God, that you would allow your word to settle deep into our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would allow your word, God, to move us deep down the way it moved you, Jesus. Lord, help us to lift up our eyes that we also may see what you see, and that we may take our place as we now move, oh God, into this next phase of the journey that you have for us. God, I pray for those, Lord God, who are listening, who are in pain right now. You are the healer. You are the one who is able to heal. So right now, God, for that brother, that sister, that man, that woman, that child listening to me right now who's in pain, Lord, would you touch them right now? And would you begin, oh God, to bring about a healing in their lives, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those who have lost their fire. I pray, oh God, that you would begin once again to ignite a fire down deep in their spirit, that they may begin to burn and blaze again for your glory, God. I pray, Lord God, for the one who wants to be used by you but doesn't know what to do. I pray, God, that you would begin, oh God, to bring clarity and focus to that individual, that you would begin to confirm your word, oh God, your calling upon their life to serve you and to serve our world in a way that brings you glory. I pray, God, for those out there, God, who feel a burden for the hurting, God, that you, oh God, would lay your hand upon them and anoint them for service, giving them wisdom, oh God, to do what you want them to do, Lord, to make a difference in our generation. Lord God, I pray for our church, God, that you would continue to allow us to be a movement, oh Lord God, moving, oh God, into 2021, Lord God, with compassion for the world you've called us, Lord God, to serve and to bear witness to. Oh Jesus, right there where you are, you worship him. We're going to hand it over to the worship team right now. But I encourage you, right there where you are, don't be in a hurry today. Meet with Jesus. Meet with the Spirit of God. He has more he wants to say to you.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.